Hello, this is Kathy Cook. We are going to be bridging wisdom tonight with
Michael Goger.
How are you, Michael?
How are you?
I'm just doing great. I'm over here visiting my daughter and son-in-law and my old grandbaby. And didn't get back in time, but it's good to be here.
And I happen to be walking by and stop in. And look, here we are doing a show.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Beautiful.
So what do you want to talk about tonight? I'm going to let you handle this since I'm out of my norm here.
Well, I got a few things I could put out, but you got anything you'd like to announce?
I would like to pick up the content being outside or inside. Remember when we talked about that last week?
Yeah.
Our content being outside of ourselves or inside of ourselves, which is meta, which is outside and beyond, and physics, which is inside our body.
True.
Right.
And we have energy. Yeah. And we got energy bodies. And so maybe consciousness does reside outside the mind.
Well, it seems like that would be more natural because what our minds do to me is it pulls from, you know, what's outside the box, you know, and comes inside the box, which is our brain. But then again, you know, the routers are the neurotransmitters and the synapses. You know, that is pulling the subconscious to me because whatever we think goes into our, you know, as a matter of fact, once you think something, it is a synapse that just fires like a little ping trigger, okay? It triggers the neurotransmitter in your brain. So that goes and rests and resides within the brain, which is like a, you know, roadmap. So to me, it seems obvious that whatever is conscious is outside of ourselves. Because if we're pulling from inside of our minds, our bodies, that has already been there and has already made a place. That's a sub, like a substitute subconscious. Don't you agree?
I believe so. I agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just now coming to this conclusion myself. So.
Well, I say if there's a subconscious, there's a superconscious.
Right.
And that's where sensitives and spiritual workers will reside and have their being in the superconscious.
Right.
When they're working.
We have to have a conscious first. Okay, this is what I'm getting at. Number one, we have to have a conscious first, which then goes into the subconscious, which is whatever we have thought, said, heard, listened to, done, you know, the truth will, you know, seek the truth, know the truth, hear the truth, see the truth, be the truth, walk the truth. That all goes inside of our sub, because it's like a substitute teacher that's teaching while we're away. So it's a sub, you know. And then you have the superconscious, which I'm going to let you discuss, because I don't know much about the superconscious.
Ooh. I guess it's...
Is that the committee that goes on, or, you know...
No, it's another dimension through the consciousness. As above, so below, you know? Equal and opposite, and also, what is it? What is the consciousness? Is the consciousness, you know what I mean? Is it?
Yeah. But what we are, what I'm figuring as this moment, as a mirror, is that the consciousness is whatever we're pulling outside of ourselves into ourselves, because anything that resides inside of ourselves is a sub. Like a subconscious, a substitute. It's already there. It already knows, right? It's nothing new. But a conscious is something instantaneous, immediate, which is being in the now, which is being in the moment. Okay? Mm. So then we have the superconscious, which is when we have learned and known something, put it together, There you go. We put the sub with the conscious, and we get an awakening or a you know, something that pulls us even higher in the consciousness, which is the super consciousness. When the sub and the consciousness come together with something metaphysically profound, like right now, whoa, like this is a super conscious awakening right here. But I didn't know that. I mean, I'm just now coming to this conclusion myself. I'm wondering if this is on track, you know.
You are too. I've been watching it in you. It reminds me of the early days, the early 80s, the book in each hand.
Yeah, that was you. You had the book in each hand.
Oh,
right?
Ever since I was 10.
Yeah.
But it got hot and heavy in the early, late 70s, early 80s. And now, what if the consciousness is operating simultaneously on three different dimensions?
Hey, my son Jason has said that we're definitely in a parallel world. He says that because this guy, believe it or not, in Arizona has his exact birth date, his exact name, and his birth mother, Kathy Cook. And everything about, and when he got his social security number in the mail for to go to UNC, North Carolina State, it was an Arizona social security, and we had to work on that. And he says, well, Mom, I already filed that, did that. Don't even think about that because I brought it up. He goes, that's filed and done. That's in my done file. And I said, well, Jason, do you remember it? And he said, well, we all live in a parallel world. It was one number off, Michael. That was off, active listening audience.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it was the same mother, I mean, Kathy Cook, Kathy Hill Cook, to be honest, and it was 2/11, his birth date, and his Jason Paul Cook. Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
So, you know, that goes to show you that we definitely do have a parallel world, but we also have several dimensions within our world. It's just like if you think of that golf ball that I kept saying, what does that golf ball represent when you were here at the house? And it's golf ball has got a real hard core on the outside, which is the numbers. And as a kid, my brothers and I used to cut it open, and inside is several rubber bands woven, I mean, like spirally woven, you know, just like you weave a piece of yarn to make a ball. And inside was a little black jelly, you know, kind of like a piece of tar. But inside of that, we weren't allowed to touch that. My dad said, don't you ever pop that open because it's poisonous. But that was like a little nucleus. It had some kind of little, my dad opened it for us so we could see it was green and it was thick. And that is the amount of that plus that's like a three dimensions what I'm getting at. Because it took that inside a little ball, which the rubber bands wrapped around it, which is the hard core. And that's how you get the numbers on a golf ball. So, to me, I know that we only use 6 to 10% of our brain. That's what I'm told, anyway. I've heard that. So
How much?
6 to 10% of our brain. At the max, a genius uses 10%.
Mm.
But most is 6% of our brain. So,
wow.
If you think of three-dimension, you've got your outside world. You know, you've got your body, and then you've got the inside. So, there's the subconscious is inside the body. The conscious is right outside the body, and, I mean, you know, like the body itself is the conscious. It's whatever, you know, touch, you know, if somebody touches you and burns, or if they touch you and it feels good or kiss or whatever. That, to me, I'm using this as an analogy. The subconscious is inside, you know, like, say you got a heart problem or something like that. That's a sub because it's already there. It's, a pre-health problem. Then you've got your consciousness, which is your body, which is your outside skin, or the seven layers of the epidermis, you know. And then you've got the outside of you, which is whatever your eyes see or, you know, project or hear far off. That is the third which can go on and on and on like a radio transmitter, which is like the neurotransmitter in the brain that can keep going out and out and out, you know, and projecting whatever it pulls towards itself. So if you think of it, I'm coming at this at the same time while I'm talking, but to me, we are in the now. We are the here and now in the moment, which is the consciousness. The super consciousness is what radioactively goes out from our brains, our ears, our talking, whatever, which is the, what is that secret? I've never read The Secret or watched it, but isn't it something like what you ask? It pulls back towards you, which I take that from the Bible, ask and receive, seek and find, knock, the door's going to be open. So therefore, speak it, you might as well have it brought back to you. That's why people seek so much junk out there. They don't know why they have so much debris in their life. If you just keep it simple. I'm getting into such depth. I'm sorry, but I'm really, really figuring this thing out here.
We're going quantum and...
Yeah, so basically...
You're into it, girl. You get a lot of book learning at her house.
I don't even have a book. I'm sitting there, and I'm not even in my domain. I'm in Ashley's and Colin's domain, so... it's like, in a nutshell, whatever's outside of us, whatever we focus on, whatever we look at out there, the what is, the whatever we want to be brought towards us is the super conscious.
Yeah, or like a supernova.
Yeah, and then our bodies, you know, the outside of our skin, our hair, and what people see is basically a conscious, because once we absorb it, it goes into our body as a subconscious. There. So we're somewhere in between.
We're somewhere in between.
You're very... I mean, look at how you trigger things in my brain to start thinking.
And then, who are we, and what is the consciousness?
Exactly. Whoa.
I mean,
maybe it's
a little chip somewhere.
You know, you never know. I mean, if we are that powerful enough to be able to project, bring back into us like a radio wave. You know, speaking it out, and it pulls back towards us. No wonder the world is so bilateral, polar off the axis, because everybody is practicing all these different types of religions mixed with the other, fussing at somebody. You know, they may, what is it that when I used to go to church, and it was called hypocrite or whatever, because people would act one way in church, and then the whole week they'd act bad, and then they'd go to church and think they could get forgiven, and then the whole week long they'd act bad again. You know, that's the way we reside. People talk that talk out there. You know, they all spiritual and all new age, even metaphysical, blah, blah, blah. But then in their everyday life with their families and friends, how are they really acting? No wonder it wobbles us. I'm not saying I'm any, you know, but.
I always said we become what we dwell on.
Yeah.
And you're always yelling at me, what if? And
I say, don't what if.
But I'm logistics, too. I got to have three plans, A, B, and C.
What is that?
Sometimes it's not good. But then it is. Explain that to me.
Well, I'm really glad that we're together because, I mean, I'm happy that we balance so well as a couple because I do not plan. I just am sporadic. And with you being a planner, you know, that helps me to see a little bit. Now, I'm not saying I don't have goals. I have long-term and short-term goals, but I'm talking about putting me down and pinning me down.
Rehashing.
Where I'm just not that away. You know, I'm sporadic. You are a planner. You like to see it. You like to feel it, hear it, touch it. You know, you want to know that it's going to work. And that's where I believe that we complement each other because you're teaching me to be somewhat like that, structured, as to where I'm teaching you more or less to be not as what if and structured and have it. So, what is that? Anal cognitive and my son Jason's anal cognitive. Everything has to be just right. If you take a magazine out, you got to put it right back. got to have everything in its little spot. Now, let me tell you what my son Matthew said to Ashley yesterday. You know, he fixed my car. You know, got it inspected and everything. And you know my little pile that I have beside my sofa? Matthew came in and told Ashley I was, he says, I think Mom's a hoarder.
Not quite.
I know, but it was my books, my notes and stuff. And, you know, when we, then I'll just take a towel or something and lay it on top and keep piling it. But it's in an order of what I'm doing, you know, studying. And Matthew, all he saw was the blankets, you know, and some of the stuff. And I had had dinner. So I had a styrofoam thing out, but I thought that was so funny. He's called me a hoarder.
Eccentric. Genius. Not quite a hoarder.
No, I don't keep anything. As a matter of fact, I hadn't even unpacked in 3 years when I've repacked myself up, 33 years of my life, to restore my house. I didn't even unpack. So what it is I just have, he thought I had collected stuff, and you know, because I have these little trails, and oh, that was cute.
Oh, I forgot talented.
Oh, thank you.
Genius, eccentric, and talented.
I'm sitting here thinking, am I a hoarder or not? What exactly is a hoarder?
Well, it's an obsession with collecting. Could be anything.
I'm not a collector. The only thing I like to keep is my notebook and my art and my photography.
And, yeah. Yeah. So that's not bad. You know, well, for the listening audience, I've been a guest at Tassie's home, and it's all artwork and stones and handmade projects and her artwork and her writings and her books. And
that's
so,
about it. Pictures on the wall. But I thought that was cute. It gave me a little compliment, I think, but I mean, at least he was paying attention.
Yeah.
The thing is that, did you feel the earthquake today?
Yes, I did. My mobile home, the wheels do work. It was going back and forth that way.
Yeah. We even, Ashley felt it in Charlotte. Well, she didn't feel it. She saw her hot water heater moving. I was in the car listening to a sports station,
and
they announced that the building was shaking. And this was, what did it hit, Virginia and Washington, D.C.? It was a 5.8, wasn't it, on the Richter scale?
Mm-hmm.
I
got witnesses, too, two or three witnesses. I predicted it to the day, the earthquake.
Wow. You know, you do a lot. You don't like to do predictions, but you do predictions.
I tell certain people about them, and then we, especially with a catastrophic event, and you know, what if you're wrong, or even if you're right, the panic, it's a tricky. But then again, I believe it's meant to be shared.
You know what you said that was going to happen? You said the end of this year was going to change a lot of people with, if they would, it was more like, I remember you talking about, do you get a shelter, you know, like an underground shelter? Remember that as kids? We would always have those thoughts of tornadoes or whatever and have the underground shelters or whatever. You mentioned that the world was going to change in a different light by the end of this year. You told me this in a reading for me. And we were just, you know, throwing it back and forth to each other. And you said that the world was going to change differently to where there's going to be, like, not towers or places that people go under, you know, for certain things while this earth shifts around. And you said it was going to start at the end of this year. Do you remember saying that? That was about 6 years ago you mentioned that.
You know, I don't really recall, but I do know that the 2012, the main calendar, and the end of the world. I feel like it's going to be the end of a certain type of attitude in man.
Wow. That's heavy, dude.
We're going to become more spiritual. And what it's going to come from a spanking. We're going to get spanked.
Wow.
But a lot of times our lessons are spankings and lumps and bumps are our best teachers.
Well, tell me exactly what you, I mean, unfold it for me. Let me see what you see.
Ooh, wow. Well, I don't feel like this earthquake's over. I feel like there'll be more to it. I'm worried about California and Japan. I want to go west. I'm also very concerned about what's going on in Libya and who these rebels really are. And there's a darkness behind it all. I really do feel that we're going to find out that we're being hoodwinked and bamboozled.
Why does Libya have any earthquakes?
They probably do. I know Afghanistan does.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I read that somewhere or saw it somewhere or something. Somebody asked that. They said maybe it's because it's mostly made up of sand. I don't know.
But on the other hand, we're years away from transplants being doctor visits or outpatient. You know what I mean? It's like you could run in, get a new heart, and run out.
Wow.
And communications are going to get faster, if that's possible. We're also, remember me saying this, I don't know if any of us will be alive when it happens. Maybe our grandchildren will be, or the archive will be there anyway. But they're going to project consciousness into the matrix, the internet.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even.
I don't think we'll, I don't know if we'll see it, but perhaps our grandchildren will.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the speed of light.
How are they going to project the consciousness into the matrix, which is the internet? How are they going to do that? I don't understand that part.
Well,
is it like through our eyes, you know, looking at the internet through our eyes and it taking a. And maybe going deep, like I said, look in my eyes that day.
An alternate universe, another universe.
You know, one time I told my mom, right when the cell phones came out, I said, don't ever look at the cell phone with your eye because it will take a picture of your pupil and go inside you. I will never forget that. She, to this day, does not. I said, don't ever look at things straight on because, you know, that's just like a human when they stare at another. You know, that's probably how they're going to get into, if you stare into the matrix long enough into the computer through your eyes, that's what I'm wondering, how it's going to project the conscious in there.
Well, they already got, what, smell TV, I think you can smell what's cooking.
Yeah. Really?
And they got touch internet. I was reading about some gloves that they had. You put these gloves on and you can touch the other person, so... Believe me, man will find a way. Also, time travel. You're gonna see that. You're gonna see a man doing time travel.
But you can come to my house and I can see you literally walking through my house like a hologram from where you were. You're here. Your energy is that strong when you visited. I can literally see you move around the house.
Well, we have a very good connection.
Yeah, we do.
And we're very close, got a lot of history. And I do, I am talented, but don't use too much astral travel, out of body, obies, you know, astral travel, I would call it. I call it going away.
Going out there.
Yeah.
Michael, if you don't mind giving out your information, what you're doing, how to get in touch with you while I excuse myself for just for a minute.
Well, I am available in private. And if you'd like to arrange a session, you can just call me, 518-249-3995. And leave a message, and I will contact you. You can also email me, Michael_Goger, G-O-G-G-E-R, @yahoo.com, and I'll reply. Also, to any upstate New York, Greene County, can I plug the personal appearances I got coming up, Tassie, or you want to move on to something else? I know we only have an hour, so you want me to run through it real quick? Tassie.
We have a Lisa on line 3.
Okay. Hello, Lisa, you're on the air.
Well, hi.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello. Can I ask a question?
Michael, are you there?
Yeah. How can I help you, Lisa?
I'm hoping that my son stays where he's at. Do you see that happening?
Hang on. What part of the world are you from?
Arizona.
Arizona. I do, with negotiation. There's another meeting coming up, or negotiations scheduled, or a meeting of some kind. I don't know if this is true or not. Do you know of a... is there a meeting pertaining to this, or you're not sure?
You know, there might be. I'm having his brother call him, and I'm hoping his brother will convince him that he needs to stay where he's at.
You know what? There's a lot of emotion here, a lot of, I could feel, You know what? I say one brother talks the other brother into it. Does that make sense, right?
Yeah.
Now, the one that is having a hard time, is it employment and the people that he's exposed to? Finances and influence.
He's in a treatment center.
Okay. And I'm just curious of why he would stay in one treatment center and not another one. And I'm also feeling employment being offered, a work release, or helping with a job. Does that any of this make sense?
Well, yeah, that would be good for him. He wants to leave and just leave the treatment center, period. He doesn't want to be in the treatment center anymore.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, no, I don't believe he leaves. I do believe he sticks it out. I'll tell you what, let's see if I can pinpoint it. Right now, it's not good, is it? He's hot-headed. Did he already leave, kind of, in a way?
I'm not answering my phone, so I don't know.
Okay. You got another week of grumpiness and not being motivated. I would say, I'd go as far as saying the end of August, he wakes up, but I'm feeling like 5 to 7 days, tops 2 weeks, he's a different guy, and he's playing ball. I really do. I feel like they offer something else to him, too. A new location or a different type of programming or something that appeases him. And on top of his changed attitude, I feel like he moves forward and does well. Right now, it's touchy, and it's going to remain so for at least, let me give you 14 days, but I'm feeling 5 to 7. Okay? Is that good?
Yeah. That makes it, that answers my, yeah.
Yeah, and there's not much you can do, Mom, except pray he's on his own path. We're all on our own path. And detachment helps everything, I believe, even in relationships when it's needed. You know? Life is change, and if we don't accept it, we miss the future or kind of get confused, you know? And he will change. He will change his attitude, and I feel like they do something extra, and he's very happy with it. Okay, Lisa?
Thank you.
He's great, isn't he?
Oh, it relieves my heart.
Well, I'm a dad, too, and a grandpa. And I feel you. I'm feeling you. I love doing this. I can go to bed tonight now knowing I spoke to somebody like you and helped them and feel good about myself. It's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lisa, for calling and listening in.
Thank you for being there.
Take care.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
You both.
God bless. And on the way out, you got a move or something coming, so a relocation or so. Prepare yourself.
Good job, Michael. That is humbling.
You hear how I love the mic, don't I?
You're good at it.
My son called me. What did he call me today? Orson Welles. I laughed. Oh, my God. Orson Welles. He could have picked anybody but Orson Welles.
You know, you're also that Ironside guy.
You know what it is, baby? We love doing what we do. And we love helping people. Uh-oh. I feel that energy.
Yeah. Go for it, Michael.
Tassie?
Yes.
David? David?
Is that David? Hey, David.
Hello? Say hi.
Hi.
Hadn't talked to you in forever and a day. How have you been?
Oh, this world's going crazy.
Mm-hmm. You telling me.
Yeah. This has been one crazy year. One crazy month.
Between earthquakes
and hurricanes and my health and everything else, it's just been like one crazy, crazy, wacky year.
David, is your mom the Angelique?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. One of the readings, or the last reading when you called into the station, was that you were in for a move, Michael had said. Did you move?
No, I just want to ask that question. Do you see us moving? When are we going to move? Because
that is it.
I'm not like in New York, and I just want to know when we're going to move to, when we're moving out of New York. We just wanted to know when we're going to be moving out of New York and everything.
David, did you move about 2 months ago? Did you move into an apartment?
No. We're still in the same apartment.
Never moved.
Have
you moved in the last couple of months? In the last 9 months to a year?
Yeah.
Yeah, we moved in March. We're having problems with our...
That is what I'm getting at, David, because the last I heard from you was when you called into the show and Michael said you're going to be moving around the mid part of March. And I was asking if that was the David that I'm talking to. So now I understand it is David and Angelique. I wanted to clarify who, so yeah. I could get connected to who I was talking to. Okay, Michael, go ahead. Sorry about that.
David.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a target date, and I believe I told you this before. I believe it's going to be from January, between January and, I can narrow it down. They're saying July, but I'm feeling more April, between January
April,
and
next year.
April. I don't know if that, and I feel like it's connected to the money getting better or something else coming in for you.
I want to
pay attention to some type of organization, church or group of some kind.
Entity.
Okay.
I also wanted
help,
to ask about my eyes because I went to see the eye doctor the other day and. No concern about my eyes, and I was losing vision in my eyes. I'm being blind in one eye, and I wanted to know what's going on with that because my health hasn't been that good.
I'm sorry to hear that. Is this due to your disability or?
I don't know. My health was really, really bad. Mm. I went to see the eye doctor yesterday, and they said that it was 2200 in my eyes. And they said I lose, blind one eye and then losing the other eye inside of, and also with my health today, I went to see the doctor and they also wanted me to go for an echogram and everything else and all that stuff, see what's going on. I really haven't had a really easy time.
Yeah, no, I can feel it, buddy. I can feel it. It's not hard having health issues and navigating. It's hard enough for a healthy young person to navigate and get through life, let alone somebody that's challenged in any way, shape, or form. Your health is going to improve. You would do very well in cooler... I'm feeling like ocean, but more, gosh, I want to say, you got a connection to Canada? I know you want to go somewhere like North, South Carolina, but you got a connection to Canada?
Canada?
Any connections or friends or what?
No, I don't have any friends in Canada.
Hmm.
I have some friends in New York, but not in Canada. No, I don't have any friends in Canada.
Yeah,
I guess I only got people here in New York that my brother and my nephew. So I only have, in New York.
Yeah.
I don't really have much, anybody in New York that I know of.
Well, I can tell you one thing. I feel like I'm, when I do move, I feel like I'm by water.
By water?
By water. And I feel like it's ocean. So, also, the health issues are, I guess, been ongoing. And the one thing I keep hearing for you is alternative and holistic whenever possible. I don't know. Maybe you can adjust your diet or do some research, maybe?
I just keep feeling that it's an absent migraine. It's a migraine without the pain. And that's why the blind spots keep coming into your eyes. It's like a migraine, but you don't feel the pain because you're so wrapped up in everything else and concerned about so much that the pain is not really there, but it blindsides you. That's what I'm for. So, Mm-hmm. I hope that happens. Mm-hmm. We do need to hang up, David. If you could get in touch with Michael first privately, because we only have like maybe 15 more minutes. We need to do some more discussing and take a few more calls.
Boy, time flies. David, it's a pleasure to talk to you, and you watch for extra income of some kind. That's the first sign of moving, and then very possible shortly thereafter. I believe it's connected to an increase in income somehow, too. So you have a good day, buddy, and watch for my show, You Tell Me. Come on as a guest one time, and I'll interview you. How's that?
Send love to your mom, David. We love you.
Yep. Oh, hold on a second.
Yep.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Tasty. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. I was just telling your son to send you our love.
Ah, I was trying to get in, call you last week. I wanted to tell you that hearing you and Michael on the radio, last time you were on, that uh-huh. is the most beautiful sound, is even prettier than the sound of angels.
Oh, God love you.
Thank you.
We love each other to pieces, and Michael and I do. But thank you so much. We love you, too.
God bless.
You're in our prayers.
God bless you. Thank you for getting on and saying hello. And thank you for the nice compliment. Give David a
God
hug.
God bless you both.
And God love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You know, there's more to come with Tassie and Michael.
Yeah.
He said next March, I'm moving. Come back Canada. Yeah.
What's going on?
I don't know. It's something about being better.
That line got gone.
My health get improved in about 3 years.
Or whoever.
Like huh? I don't know.
I don't know what it is, but.
I hope you don't. I hope you don't call me a bad name.
I believe that God got us still hooked into danger.
I don't think he knows we're hearing him.
I think he's listening to his own organ.
Yeah.
David.
Hello, David. David. David Schwartz. Hang up. You need to hang up the line.
Rain or something. I couldn't listen. They couldn't listen because the
Michael, we
thought
his mom would believe on the other line, and they haven't hung up.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Okay, thank you. God love you, Don.
Yeah.
Any sweet, I love that music.
I was just getting ready to say you better get the boss in here.
We were listening to them discuss their read that you had just given them.
Can you imagine if he was saying, "What a bum! The guy's a bum."
I'm disconnected. That's all. So, Michael, when did you start reading? Because you're just amazing. How you pick things up? When did you start? What were you like, age 10?
When I did my real first reading, I knew what I was doing.
Uh-huh.
Oh, boy, what a story, too. And anybody out there that wants to be a reader, you may run into this, especially if you're new. You know, I was always a storyteller and a channeler and would do things when I was younger, but a reading per se, like somebody sitting across from me, was my adopted father. He was having back surgery, and my God, the reading was screaming, no, 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 no. And I twisted it into, you know, I watered it down to the point where I don't worry about it. And it led to his death like 2 years later. And that kind of haunted me in a way. But it was a valuable lesson. I learned to always, always say exactly what I'm hearing and don't change it.
Say that again?
That's how I learned to...
Not to talk much, babe. I didn't hear you because Ashley was talking. What did you say?
What was the last thing you heard?
You said don't change it, and I didn't hear what that went with. Don't change it.
Watering down a reading for my adopted father who was having surgery.
Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha.
I should have said no, reschedule, point blank. And I didn't, and it haunted me. So, and that was, I was, what, I'd say 30.
Well.
So I'm going to be 55.
Did you ever feel like that you were in a world that's either upside down or right side up and you're the opposite? I always felt like I was in an upside down world. My world was upside down and the rest of the world was right side up. And that I was so different out there. And I used to remember, you know, just saying, I know there's something out here when I would ride my horse about 8 years old. I'd say, there's something out here. There's something out here. I know there's a magical type world out here. And, you know, that was basically the metaphysical world. Because I used to could see things that my mom said were... My mom never told me it was my imagination, though. That's one thing my dad did, but my mother did not.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would tell people it was my imagination, and my parents would, there's something wrong with him.
What is imagination?
He's an odd child.
Michael, what is imagination? Let's figure that one out. Is that something that we, because what, we're supposed to be in this reality world all the time. Everything that's in the here and now is reality, right?
Imagination is an aspect.
The fear concept and the worry and even the anticipation is really not a reality. It's something that we are manifesting. So if you think about what is reality, what is imagination, what do you believe that is? I see Willy Wonka in the chocolate factory.
Imagination is your camera and film.
Okay.
Of manifestation, what you perceive, what you dream, you can achieve. What you dwell on, you become. You're writing film, but it's in another dimension, another level, another energy, and another vibration, and it can haunt you if you're continuously thinking negative thoughts. You become a negative person, you attract negative people and negative events, and a lot of people may argue, oh, that's a bunch of nonsense, but it's true. You know, we mirror ourselves. It's almost like what we put in a mirror, we get back, kind of. Like everybody's on mirror, you know, and we're manifesting everything.
Okay, so what is imaginary? And, okay, is imagination and imaginary, they go together? Or do you feel that when a child is seeing or talking to somebody or something and the parent can't see, and that's an imagination, do you feel that a parent should knock that away from the child? Or do you feel that they should just allow that to happen?
I would allow it to happen. Actually, it happened to me today. My grandson was... All day long, it was his teddy bear talking.
Oh, yeah?
And instead of saying, knock that off, or I played with him and interacted with him, and was I wanted to hear what the teddy bear had to say.
What did he say?
It was playing with him. He was super bored, and my grandson's very sensitive, and... I believe he was channeling another personality with his teddy bear. And so,
well, you know that if it's the same teddy bear, that's the one you talk to right after your wife passed. You know, and you put all your thoughts and feelings into that teddy bear, if that's the same one.
Oh, my gosh. You are 100% correct. It is that
one. Yeah. So that teddy bear has everything when Norma was passing away to when she passed away, and, you know, If you're talking about your oldest grandson, he is very gifted.
That's another story. The one with the teddy bear was the younger one. He's showing signs, and the older, you know what both of them said? Nanny opens and closes our closet door.
Wow.
And Lee checked it, and there's just no way the door will move by itself. It's just, it's heavy, and it's secure, and it's not swinging or flopping in any way, shape, or form. And the kids say they sit in the room, and they watch it open and close.
You know, you've been at my house and seen energies. We've even caught them on film. So we know that.
Oh, gosh, you put two people like us together and just the slightest bit of chewing on the word raises the temperature.
Brings a whole other dimension, a whole other aspect. The super con, there you go,
Well, the master said where two or more gather, I'll also be there.
Yeah, where two or more gather in his name, they'll be gone. And he'll be there in the midst.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that's Matthew 7:19. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. Matthew 7:7, Ashley, is asked, receive, seek, find, knock, the door shall be open. He's asking, where two or more are gathered together in his name, it shall be done, or there he will be in the midst. Is that Matthew 7:19?
Well, you felt it when me and you were together.
Yeah.
Every time. It was very, very paranormal, very spiritual, very shamanic, very deep, very...
I'm going to ask Ashley. She's being a new mother with a child, okay? Ashley, what we're talking about right now is how you will react and respond to if Avery has imaginary friends and imaginary playmates or whatever, because just today his grandson was talking to the teddy bear and was having a conversation with it. And that's the teddy bear that Michael always put all his thoughts and feelings into when Norma was dying and after she passed away. So that's pretty, you know, significant there. How are you going to handle when Avery has playmates? So you had them, every kid does.
I would go along with it. But if it went on too long, I would.
Would you ask her questions about it, or are you going to just let her just do it herself and just acknowledge it? Or
acknowledge it, but if it goes beyond a certain point, then I'll question her.
Right. So you'll use your senses to feel what your daughter.
Yeah.
Okay.
What's right and right to be too far.
Good answer, Ashley. And Michael, it is 5:00. We like to get off the air at 5:00.
So yes.
You want to say something?
Pleasure. It's been a pleasure, Tassie.
It's been a pleasure, Michael. Say bye bye.
I'd like to thank PBS Radio and everybody. Thank you and goodbye.
Have a good night. Yeah, thank you, Don and Doug and Seth. At BBS Radio, and say bye-bye, Colin. That's my son-in-law. We are off the air. Bye-bye, Michael. Thank you so much for everything, as usual. You're the best. Love you, baby.
Bless you. Love you.